Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay, it really smells down here. See, this is why I don't come down here.
This is the only reason you don't come down here?
Moot and Bombera, you hear what sounds like echoing quacks coming up.
Oh, great. It's the guard ducks.
The duck thing was real?
In order to make it past all the other guard ducks we have, you're going to have to quack a little bit, just so they know that you're cool.
Can you give us a demo so that we have something to practice off of?
Yeah. Quack, 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 quack.
Quack, quack, quack,
quack, quack, quack,
quack, quack,
quack,
quack,
quack, quack, quack, quack, quack. And then all four of them begin going, quack, quack, quack. It's okay, stop, stop.
What does the Rat King prefer to be called?
The Rat King.
So not like your warship or anything like that. He just prefers Rat King.
I think you guys could probably step it up a notch. There's so many other adjectives out there.
I'm going to try this smile business and see about expanding our reach and maybe creating friendships at the same time.
Yeah, and you know what? If you want to extend your reach, they can help you with your business venture as well.
I had no idea that these resources were available to someone such as I.
Oh, they are for everyone in the dock ward.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. We're a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast, and I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, and if I try and make the same mouth movements as Amy, it throws me off.
You shouldn't be making my mouth movements. I'm making your mouth movements.
This is very strange. With me today is Amy Moore.
Yes, I am. I play Sullivan Slight, a Lightfoot halfling rogue.
Tom was making fun of you there.
I wasn't even looking. I missed it.
Yep.
Man.
Gotta watch the playback. Also with me, Carla Maxted.
That's me. I play Glim, a dragonborn paladin.
And Tom Laird.
Yeah, I play Moot. He's a half-orc wild magic sorcerer.
How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Doing pretty good.
I have wine.
Oh, then Amy's doing the best.
Some of us are doing better than the others. Maybe where we're always having wine might be over on Patreon. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. We can't.
We don't know what your beverages are.
Yeah. But when you're a patron, where we've got all those sweet, sweet rewards and bonus episodes, but also you get an episode dedicated to you, like today's patron, Jack Green.
Yay.
Thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Jack Green.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jack.
I like how monosyllabic his name is. It's very powerful.
Jack.
Very powerful
Green.
Name.
Don't you know who I am?
Jack Green.
Jack Green. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a power name.
So you should pull that from the episode, Jack, and just use it as like your ringtone. Don't you know
Jack
who
Green.
I am?
Jack Green.
Yes, please.
Maybe. Patreon.com/DumbDragonCast. You can go check out all that sweet stuff over there. Please do. We would love it. Fuck it. Let's play D&D. The three of you, Moot, Glim, and Sully, as we now know, are in Waterdeep. And since the last time we saw you, there was a rather large ceremony that took place. One dedicated to those that saved the realm, the Decimators of Dragons as well as all the many hundreds of thousands of men and women across Faerun who fought against the cult of the dragon. Now, we're not going to go through the whole ceremony with you three there, but give me a little sense of how you took this whole ceremony in.
It was just in like a big kind of village square, correct?
Like in the streets, like kind of like a procession.
So the description, the description that I gave is at the Castle Waterdeep is where Lady Laryl Silverhand and Lord Neverember and all the other heads of different factions were set up and giving their speeches. So the actual view of them in real world terms was put up on big jumbo screens, jumbotrons, kind of all through the city, using magic of sorts, of course. In our world. But people were all through the streets of Waterdeep watching and taking this in and giving their thoughts and prayers to those that had lost their lives and those that had come back victorious.
I was probably in a tavern, but on a terrace, like outside, drinking a beer, watching the big screen. I'm keeping it low key. I'm not running through the streets. I'm not, you know, I'm just kind of.
Now, Sully, we know, is, or was rather, a member of the Cult of the Dragon. So this is, I mean, you would have heard a few days prior, or at least a couple days prior, that the Cult of the Dragon lost the battle. What kind of feeling and emotion is Sully going through, knowing that the people of Faerun were victorious against them?
Well, I think Sully's super happy about it, but I think he's really ashamed. He never wants the secret to be out. He doesn't want to be grouped or lumped in with those people who did all that, even though he feels like somewhat like he would deserve it, but also feels very, I don't know, he's a little bit torn. He's very much excited that they've lost, that the cult lost, but at the same time, he's a little worried about what this could mean for him and if he's in the clear now or not. He's just kind of sitting on pins and needles. I think he doesn't want to let himself get too excited.
I think Glim is, of course, very inspired by all of this because, you know, she has a destiny to save the world. So she probably is standing in front of one of those screens and just, like, staring, crying, like, very intent, not doing really anything else except for kind of taking it in and really feeling, like, deep feelings of loss, even though, you know, she didn't know any of these people personally. It hadn't really affected her where she was in her isolated little community or anything, but the sadness at having lost people, but more importantly, like, how powerful it feels that everybody has come together and risen up and, you know, there's like a lot of love feelings around. Everyone is so happy, even though they are also sad, but they've been victorious. So she's just like crying.
Kind of similar to Glim's experience. Moot kind of is in the big, like, town square in front of one of the viewing screens. And he's just kind of looking around and noticing that there's, like, all different, like, races and creeds all in one place, like, taking in the same thing. Like, he sees tieflings and half-orcs and halflings and, you know, everybody in between that are all just, like, are sharing the one moment together.
It's a couple days, or, yeah, 2 or 3 days after the ceremony. Since you've been here, the streets have been packed, camps have been set up in and around the outlying area of Waterdeep. none of you three had been to Waterdeep previously, I think we had established, unless I'm incorrect.
Sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds correct.
Okay. So this is the only way that you've known Waterdeep, is full to the brim with people. So it's 2 or 3 days after, and a large percentage of the people, now that some of the forces have come back and become rested, they are starting to take people back out in large caravans to the cities where they originally came from, to the towns, to help rebuild and get a foot back up and get started back with life again. You three have been here for a couple weeks now. Where are you staying? I think you had previously mentioned something to the effect of Bahamut, Temple of Bahamut. But
yeah, I mean, that's like my whole thing, is that I am always welcome there. So I feel like I even invited these guys also to stay there with me. Is that accurate? I remember maybe me saying that, but I don't know that I have the authority to do that.
They were probably too kind to say that we weren't really allowed to come and stay with you, but they were just like, yeah, that's fine.
So you've been there for a couple weeks, and as far as temples go, this one is very modest. In fact, in order to find it, it took the three of you quite a long time and asking around to many different people, because it's only marked by a small wooden sign that is worn incredibly with age, that holds a very worn image of the symbol of Bahamut on it. Inside, there's only a few rooms, probably 6 to 8 rooms. There's the one main chamber where people come in to pray and to speak with the priest or priestess there. And we're going to say that during this time, Glim, you might not have had much one-on-one time. That you've set up your Zumba, you've gone out and you've stopped the Rat King, you've taken in this this large ceremony, but you haven't had a lot of one-on-one time with the main priestess there, Kelbis Krombiak. She is a bronze dragonborn. It's early morning, and you get up and you come downstairs, and she is just arranging some of the pews and putting out some leaflets and just getting ready for the day.
Okay, well, I'm going to help. I'll just like help grab whatever needs distributing and doing while she's, working as well.
She notices you and says, thank you. Thank you, Glim.
Always so happy to help. How are you today?
I'm quite well. It's a much lighter feeling in the city now that people are headed back to their homes under such a victory.
Yeah, it was. I've never experienced anything like that before. Just all of those people, and it was really incredible.
Magical, some might say.
Yeah, it felt spiritual, for sure. It seems like an awful lot of the people that have been here are just going to get to go back home now.
Yes, that is what it seems. The city will go back to regular working order, and hopefully everybody else, hopefully their towns and villages aren't too far set back.
Well, it seems like at a time like this, everyone's going to be really willing to work super hard and work together to get everything kind of sorted out back in their homes.
That is the idea. And from the sounds of the plans, they're kind of going city to city. So helping the first one, everybody in the caravan, and then moving along. So if everybody comes together, which they have done so far, it should go smoothly and life would be back to normal. At least as normal as it can be.
And life will go back to normal here at the temple, too?
That is the hope. There's been many people through here, much more than usual. We don't usually get a large amount of traffic.
And what does normal mean here? I mean, it's a pretty small place.
Yes, yeah. Those that follow Bahamut aren't particularly about flaunting or drawing too much attention to themselves. They don't usually stick to one place for a great amount of time. They want to go out and do good and carry the name, as you know.
Well, that Bahamut, he's a real do-it-yourself kind of, you know? He wants everybody to do their own thing and take care of themselves, and it's part of why I love him so much.
Bahamut, the DIY god.
Right. Some might say kind of. He wants to make it right.
No one would say that.
No? You shouldn't compare Mike Holmes to Bahamut?
Blasphemy.
Well, I really appreciate you letting me and my friends stay here.
Of course, you are always welcome. How long do you think you will be here? And where are you expected, or where do you plan to go next?
Well, I mean, I've told you about my destiny, so I have some things I need to do to accomplish that, but I don't know that I'm quite ready yet. I think me and my friends, if they'll come with me, maybe we need to go experience a little bit more of the world before it's time to, you know, go find my destiny.
Right.
Do you have any suggestions, or do you think I should stay here and study more, or?
I mean, you are certainly welcome to stay here, and I'm more than happy to impart whatever wisdom that I have upon you. You mentioned previously that your next major step in your destiny is traveling to Timanther?
Yeah, I mean, the first part of my destiny was that I needed to find a halfling and then a half-orc. I mean, I think I found my people. It sure seems that way. So I guess my next stop is to go to Timanthor and find the Citadel and pledge my oath, you know, to really, really kind of go steady with Bahamut, really make things serious, you know?
You see her face go from a slight smile to a bit more serious. And she says, my dear, what do you know, or what have you been told so far of Timanther, and specifically the capital?
Just that I have to go there. It's the birthplace of the Dragonborn, and I need to go and swear my oath. But, if you mean logistics and practicalities, not very much.
Well, let me do what I can to prepare you for what you might expect to see there.
That would be incredible. Thank you.
My fear is that it may have been slightly romanticized a bit for you. The Citadel that you speak of is probably no more than what you see before you here. Timanther and Jerad Thamar specifically are a very militaristic place. Religion doesn't stand very highly among the Dragonborn from our homeland, if you say. How long has your village been gone from Timanther?
Oh, gosh. I mean, a long time. You know, I don't think anybody there even has relatives, you know, like grandparents or great grandparents that had been there themselves. So,
right.
many generations.
The dragonborn there, specifically, and the majority of them, believe that there are no dragon gods.
What? No. Where did they think we came from, then?
They believe, and there are a few, obviously, who do believe more as we do. They believe that the Dragonborn were created on another planet, another plane, mirror to Toriel, which is where we are now. Created by dragons and by the supposed gods that they call themselves as slaves. And were used as such for work, for battle, for sustenance, if so needed. And when the two worlds, Abir and Toriel, collided, Timanthir split to Toriel. And the majority of the Dragonborn population, still to this day, holds that value very high.
While that sounds like a sad way to live, but I guess I understand why they would be, you know, military and strong, and I guess they're awfully afraid that they might be enslaved again.
Exactly. So the citadel you seek is in Jerad Thamar. And to properly pledge yourself to Bahamut, you may travel there. But know that your view of Dragonborn, specifically from your village, might be shaken when you arrive.
I understand. I mean, thanks for warning me.
Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
We'll go to Moot.
Yeah.
Where do we find Moot?
Moot is finally walking back to the Temple of Bahamut after his last shift roofing baubles and such.
Worked off all that. All that. Well, I mean, you might not be done working there, but you've at least roofed it.
I've at least done that job.
Yeah. During your time in Waterdeep, how often have you been casting spells?
Not very often, and it's been very small things like Mage Hand. You know, if I forgot something down on the ground when I climbed up the ladder to get up on the roof, then I just, you know, crab clawed up to me.
Never wanted a real spell, like a spell to be as real as I do right now.
I know.
Because that feels very, like, you know, it you get upstairs, so you realize you left your water downstairs, right? Your phone.
I just use like it crab all the time. Up to you.
Just, well, I don't know if mine would look like a crab claw, but yeah.
No, I think absolutely. They have to look like crab claws, Amy.
Do they?
I'm pretty sure. I think I read that in the player's handbook somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Okay, then.
You're thinking back on one of these times when something odd happened. Roll me a percentile die.
Ooh.
Or percentile dice, rather.
Well, yeah, there's the two of them.
Yeah.
We are looking at a 10 and a 10. So 11?
That should be an 11. How tall is Moot?
I think I've said somewhere around 6 feet in the past.
Okay. Roll me a d10.
Okay. That is a 7.
So what were you doing? Was it just Mage Hand? And when did this happen?
Yeah, I was just casting Mage Hand to bring up a hammer that I'd left down on the ground.
Perhaps today?
Yeah, like right at the last part of my shift.
You did this. You were bringing up the hammer. You cast Mage Hand. You were bringing up the hammer. And you felt odd. You couldn't quite place it. And when you left, you said goodbye to Bombera, who really wasn't paying much attention. She looked up, kind of looked confused at you, and said, "Well, we'll see you on Monday, or whenever the next day of the week in Faerun it is. You have a good weekend." And she went back to her book, not really paying too close attention. Where are you headed?
Back to the Temple of Bahamut.
You get a very distinct sense. How am I going to do this? Because this is...
Everything seems... trying to destroy your world right
now.
No,
I'm not trying to destroy your world. I'm just trying to figure out when Moot would pay attention to this.
Well, it depends on what happened to him, right?
Yeah. No, things seem bigger. Just everything seems like it's just a little bit out of place.
Okay, like you put on a new prescription and your eyes like need that time to adjust to it?
Sure, yeah, we could say that.
More like Mario getting hit with a shell. Now pipes are a lot taller than they used to be. A lot looser.
Yeah. You're walking back down the street and you see Sully coming up towards you. I'm going to tell you what happened to him, and then you can describe what you see.
I give a wave and a... It's Sully!
I walk up to Moot, and I just kind of take a moment and stare at him.
What's up?
Did you do something different with your hair?
No, I mean, I think it's the same as it was before, and he kind of grabs his hair.
New clothes?
No, I've only have, like, the two outfits, and this is one of them.
Have you been secretly wearing lifts and just didn't tell anybody?
Lifts?
You know, to make you taller.
Make a perception check, Moot.
That is an 11.
Sully seems closer in your height to you than you. Like, maybe you're just exhausted. Maybe you're just super tired. But Sully seems like he grew.
Gonna, like, hold my hand out and be like, It's, did you get bigger?
Well, no. But
did I get smaller?
I think so. I stand beside him and I do where you put your hand on your head to match where the other person is and whereas before if you were 6 feet tall. Oh God, how tall am I?
Like probably like count
three
up to
feet
like
tall?
Elbow height.
I'm only 3 foot five, so I would be like waist height for you, essentially, like half your size. Now I am more like chest height, and I'm like, yeah, there's something wrong with either your torso or your legs.
Well, they feel fine. I feel bad earlier. Maybe, do you think someone like cursed me or something?
Why, you pissed someone off?
I don't think so. I mean, I was just roofing all day. I can't imagine anyone was angry about that.
Well, then I get probably not. I mean, when people curse people, I mean, it takes a lot. So I hear, and I don't know, like, are you Benjamin Buttoning it?
The famous explorer? I don't think so.
Well, didn't he get younger and younger, and he was getting smaller and smaller?
Oh, different Benjamin Button. Yeah. Huh.
Are you growing backwards?
You two, I assume, continue at least kind of walking at a slow pace. You pass by the bakery that you love to go, the Sun and Stars.
That is the name of it, yes.
And you walk up to it and look through the glass like you usually do before you go in and purchase, and you are 7 inches shorter now.
Yeah. We need to go quicker back to the temple. I need to... Maybe they can help out with this.
Well, hold on. You're looking at the baked goods, and we're just gonna leave?
I feel like this... Me being quite a bit shorter than normal maybe takes precedent over the croissants?
What doesn't really seem to be like a life-threatening kind of... Like, what's so bad about being small, hmm?
The door bursts open and the store owner named...
You know, Tom, you've been there so much.
I have been there numerous times.
You guys are besties.
Mauritius? Remy. Oh, Remy's easier to spell. That's a better choice.
Remy, what did you say?
I said Carl? Mauritius.
Remy Mauritius. His name sounds delicious.
It sure does.
Don't know how to spell that. That's how you spell it now. Remy comes out. He says, "Oh, Moot, it's such a pleasure to see you. We have some new... What? You seem smaller, my friend."
Yeah, I don't know. Something happened to me. Do you know anything about magic?
Usually when people... Usually when people eat here many times as you... They don't get smaller, they get wider.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was there for a little bit till I started that roofing job and then, you know, worked off all those extra turnovers I was eating. But, yeah, now I just seem to be legitimately smaller than before.
Which I don't see why that's a problem, but apparently it's a problem.
But, Sully, if you all of a sudden were 7 inches taller than you normally are, wouldn't you be concerned about that?
I'd be fucking ecstatic.
Okay, what if you were 7 inches shorter than you normally are?
Oh, don't even put that out into the atmosphere, man. Sully starts to look around like someone's going to jump out and curse him at any moment.
He would be as small as a toadstool. This is creeping in on him.
That's racist. My grandmother was a toadstool.
Well, he would come by it naturally then. You're coming in for some goods?
Can I rain check on the goods? I gotta go figure out what's going on here first.
Can he not rain check on the goods?
Only one chance.
Is the bakery going under if I don't buy something this moment?
This is Moot's usual time. I mean, perhaps there was something special set. They'll never know. All right.
It's worse. That's awful.
You head off back down the street and you make it back to the temple. Sully chasing behind.
I run and like jump and we're eye level and I'm like, this is novel. I hope it never wears off.
You burst through the door and Glim and Kelbus are standing there speaking together.
Hi, guys.
Hi,
look how small he is!
What happened to your friend?
You do... Oh, Moot, what happened? You're a real little guy now, aren't you? Because I'm don't, very big.
Okay, whoa, hold on a second.
I don't know what happened. I was roofing, and I was using my crab claw to get some things down, and I didn't feel very good, and then all of a sudden I'm short.
I wonder if this happens to other people who are roofing. You know, like maybe it's like an epidemic or something that happens. They're roofing too much. They got roofied. You got roofied.
I don't know if that's what they mean. Nope, that's fine.
I don't like the sound of this.
Yeah. Well.
Did you eat anything weird? Did somebody curse you?
That's what I thought.
Did you get bit by a spider? Because sometimes they can do things to you.
I don't remember being bit by a spider. And Moot, like, starts, like, touching his arms and legs to, like, check for spider bites. No, I don't feel anything.
Maybe you're just growing backwards.
Yeah, had you considered that you're growing backwards?
I mean, I hadn't. I didn't think people could do that.
Does that happen a lot with half-orcs?
No, we're always tall.
Well, maybe you're going more to the half than you are to the orc.
Wow.
I'm fucking deep, man. I have a lot of thoughts that I just don't say. I think I'm just going to say them.
Tom, how do you want to play this out? Do you want to roll intelligence to see if you remember talking to Gabriel or Layden about wild magic surges?
I do remember talking to Gabriel about it, and nothing had happened at that point.
Right. Okay.
So maybe it's just taking a minute to, like, sink in that this is somehow related to that.
Could be. Okay.
So maybe, you know, initial shock and everything.
Yeah. Maybe roll an intelligence check. We'll see if it kind of sinks in during this conversation.
Well, and you don't want to think that you did this to yourself.
It must Benjamin be a curse. Buttoned myself. That's an 18 for the intelligence check.
So during the course of this conversation, you're talking about curses and half orcs becoming more half than orc. Something clicks in your mind, talking to Gabriel about using magic the way that sorcerers do, the way that you do, and tapping into wild magic and how there can be adverse side effects.
Wait, guys, do you remember what Gabriel said to me when we were leaving? He talked about things can, like, happen, things can come through the wild magic.
No, I'm sorry. I really don't. I'm not a very good listener.
Well, you might have even been sleeping in the cart at that point.
That sounds like me.
Glim, I remember having this conversation. He said that sometimes, like, surges can happen. Maybe that's what happened.
Right. And did he say something about
Smala?
Did he say something about what specifically would happen? Did he mention getting smaller?
No, I think he was deliberately vague about what can happen.
Sounds like Gabriel.
I once knew a wizard that did the voodoo like you do. And he once tried to light a candle on fire, but accidentally brought through a wormling. And let me tell you, it was crazy because it was inside and everything. His room was trashed.
Kelvis, do you know if there's any sorcerers or magic teachers or anything in town here that maybe I could talk to?
Do you
know much about magic?
I don't. I don't know a great deal about shrinking using magic, especially without knowing. I mean, there are spells, as far as I understand, how to, you know, to grow and shrink individuals, but...
But yeah, usually that's like the goal of the spell.
That is the idea.
Oh my god, was it just really cold up on the roof?
No, it's a nice warm day. It was just hours ago.
Were you in a pool?
I was in a pool!
There are sorcerers. There's a school, the school of wizardry. They may be able to help you. I don't have much else for you, though. I can send hopes and prayers that your height returns.
I mean, thoughts and prayers don't do too much.
This is three mentions in this episode, so, like, thoughts and prayer.
But yeah,
it's called thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
What about a magic user or a teacher or a sorcerer or anyone you know of?
Sure. Yes. I don't know if it will mean anything, but I mean, you can just go to the wizarding school.
They have one of those here?
This is Waterdeep. This is one of the, this is perhaps the largest city in Faerun. Of course they have a school of wizardry here.
Idiot.
I did not call him an idiot, Sully.
That wasn't Sully. Sounded nothing like him.
at that moment, Sully got a little quiet. Sully, you feel a little twang in your side. Like just a sharp pain.
Ow.
And we flash back to that morning. Where do you wake up and what do you do first thing in the morning?
Well, I wake up in the temple because... that is where I'm staying.
This is the question. These are the questions.
Well, I know. Sully's not like a drunkard going out and sleeping in the streets. No, no. He likes a bed. Or at least like a bed roll. And he goes out and I think he's a wanderer. He wanders through the streets. He stops in shops. He talks to different people. I think he stops in frequently.
Right.
To see Moot. To, I think, Moot's maybe disappointment. I don't know, but I have a feeling like not as much work gets done.
Oh, I would think no Sully work would by. Get done.
Yeah. And so he really just spends his days kind of like milling about, touching shiny stuff, only occasionally stealing. He's really tried to stop that.
This morning you wake up and you're getting dressed and ready for the day. And you kind of reach around, you got like an itch on your side, and you reach back to your side, and there's a lump there.
Oh, no. What the fuck?
It's about the size of a large marble. You can't quite see it from your angle. You kind of get a bit of a reflection in one of the windows. There are no mirrors in your room, and it looks a little discolored.
Sully is not impressed.
Make a wisdom saving throw.
New dice.
Oh, it's exciting.
Oh, fuck, it's a 5. Motherfucker. Wisdom. It's a -1. 4.
You at first you feel disgusted and like, where did this come from? But then as you touch it, you feel a sense of compassion for it.
Well, hey there. Welcome back to the middle. It's just me, your dungeon master. Russ Moore here with you this fine day. A little late getting this together. We had a big record session for some episodes coming up with Kyle Classett of Bombarded, and we can't wait for you to hear those episodes. Those will be coming up beginning to mid-November. Looking forward to that. One thing we want to let you know is that we have a big sale going on for anybody and everybody over in our TeePublic store. All our regular shirts, all our designs, all of the things that we have going on over there. We've got some pretty cool D&D specific designs. We've got lots of Dungeons and Dragons designs, some Flamekins, some New Crew, some Decimators of Dragons. All those regular shirts will be on sale for $13, and everything else is going to be up to 35% off. We've got mugs, we've got pillows, we've got stickers, all sorts of really cool stuff. The link for that, for our TeePublic storefront, where you can get all those sweet designs, is down in the description. And that sale is going on today through this weekend. And we'd really love if you go check it out, see if you find something, some Dungeons swag to adorn your wardrobe with. But because it's late, that's all I have for you today. So let's get back to the episode here and find out what's going on with these crazy new crew kids. And we will talk to you.
Well, I'm going to call you Ken. And I put my clothes on and I go about my day with my buddy Ken.
And we flash back to Moot getting the information that he needs. And Kelbus says, it's El Torchul Academy. Sorry, I forgot previously. I don't often frequent there. It is a magic school of Lord Thesp or El Torchul. I don't know if you'll be able to get him, but I'm sure there could be somebody there who would be able to help you.
Magic school of what was his name?
Lord Thesp El Torchul.
El Scorcho?
El Scorcho.
El Torcho, like he tortures a lot of people.
All right. Okay, yeah, I guess maybe I should, like, go there immediately?
If you so desire your height back?
Oh my gosh, what if you just keep shrinking and shrinking and shrinking?
Well, that's honestly a concern, so I think I should go right now. Does anyone want to come with, or everyone cool here?
Well, I'll come with you. I think I might be able to help you see the Lord. I have a noble background, so I have an in.
Oh,
with
the
all.
Lord!
No.
That's how I took it.
Like, the Lord.
I
mean,
let me tell you,
I can definitely
it.
Get you an
Glim.
In with Bahamut. I'll tell you a little more about him on our way. Sorry,
he loves you.
He was
Lord.
A bit of a rule breaker.
Lord, he was a bit Fesp. Of a rule breaker. Oh God. Okay. Yeah. No, I'll come too. I have some questions of my own. And I pet the side of my self.
Still have compassion. Okay, you leave the citadel, or leave the chapel, temple, whatever we called it. I've said them all. And you head towards, Kelbis gives you directions to the Sea Ward of Waterdeep. And it is on the corner of Ivory and Diamond Streets. And you walk up, and the Arcane Academy stands before you. It's housed at a large villa. And you step up to it. There is no gate. There's a closed door at the top of a large flight of stairs, though.
I, like, race up the stairs. Open the
Sorry,
door.
Did you want to do any Lord talk in the streets? I jumped over that.
No, like any proselytizing in the streets?
Yes.
No,
yeah.
I'm fine.
Okay, just checking. I always want to make sure you get your daily five in.
No, I mean, the Zumba class takes care of a lot of my mission work in the morning, so.
Fair enough.
It's pretty good.
Perfect. Sorry, Moot.
Yeah, so I, like, hustle up those stairs, not even really caring if they're, like, right behind me or not, and kind of throw open the door and head in and say, is Lord Thesp here? Can I talk to the Lord Thesp, please?
There is a smaller, older woman who's seated behind the desk who lets out an audible, ah! as you throw the door open.
Are you Lord Thesp?
No, dearie, I'm not Lord Thesp. Does no one knock anymore?
Sorry, I've had a day.
Oh, me too.
Oh, no, what happened in your day?
Well, this half-orc just threw open the door screaming, get me Lord Thesp!
Well, I think
I was just sitting here reading
saying,
my tales.
But
that's, well, I skipped over that. My heart skipped a beat. I might have been on the please.
Sully walks
Maybe
the
I
door.
Didn't. I meant to if I didn't.
Fair enough. You brought friends.
Yeah, these are my friends. I'm Moot, and that's Glim, and that's Sullivan Slight.
Right.
And yeah, I have a little, like, magic emergency.
Ah, magic emergency. What is your emergency, my dear?
Well, Sully, why don't you tell her?
Oh. Well, my... He's shorter.
He looks perfectly fine to me.
Well, this morning when he left, he was about this much bigger, and Sully holds up his hands about 7 inches apart.
Really?
And now he's, like, not that much bigger.
And he didn't have any issues with, like, sharp objects?
No, I don't think that he cut any parts of his body off, but, I mean, I haven't seen him naked, so.
No, all my parts are there.
Okay, well.
He does wild magic. He fucks up to dump it.
Great.
I'm a secretary, so I don't really know. I can't really judge the needs of the...
You asked.
I did. Well, I'm trying to diagnose before
you
I go.
You shouldn't. You said you're just a secretary.
Well, it's good. Triage. Triage secretary is what I am. You have to narrow down what is needed here.
Well, I have a question. Once you get him sorted out.
Okay.
Oh, right now.
Oh, no. We'll come back to you. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah. No, I see.
So what do you want, my new friend? Moot, was it? That's a fun noise.
Yep, that's the one. Well, I was wondering if I could talk to Lord Thess, because we were over at the Temple of Bahamut, and they figured that he would probably be the good person to talk to about magic things.
Well, Lord Thess isn't here right now.
Does he have, like, another person who, like, teaches here or anything? I mean,
we have several instructors here.
Do any of them deal with wild magic?
What about...
That's a fun noise.
Right?
What about, I'm all about fun magical noise. Side effects?
Would you like me to go find somebody? Is
that
this
would
what,
be fantastic.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. You wait. You three wait right here.
Okay.
She slowly gets up. Takes her step. Oof, this is going to be a tiring walk. Takes another step.
Ma'am, would it be helpful if you could just send one of us to go fetch someone?
No. It's my job.
Okay.
And she slowly walks around the corner. So I've got this. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. Moot. She's cleared around the corner.
I mean, it might have just, Glim's right, it might have just been easier to send us.
Well, I mean, to be fair, we've never been here before. We have no idea where we're going, and we don't know who we're looking for, so would it have?
But, I mean, if she said, hey, it's three doors down on the left.
You're right.
We could have handled that.
Yeah, you're right.
You wait quite a while, and she comes back and says, yes, someone will be right out with you. She slowly walks back to her desk.
Does anyone want to play Rock Sword Scroll?
You hear...
Nope.
I mean, I'll play.
Yeah, okay. I knew you would.
You hear footsteps coming down the hall. Coming around the corner, you see a... taller than Moot, male. He is a dark tan skin, and he comes into the front entryway and he says, is it you three who require assistance of a great magical individual?
Well, it's just me, really, but yeah, they came along for moral support.
Excellent. Well, I have my own question, but I mean, let's take care of your height problem.
So, you have a height problem?
Well, yeah, I, okay, well, first, hi, I'm Moot.
Yes.
And that's, Glim, and that's...
You're
Sullivan
the noise
Slate.
She was making.
Yeah, that's the one. She said it was a fun noise.
She did say it was a fun noise. She said there was a fun noise waiting at the front and needed magical assistance.
Perfect.
My name is Burko.
Hi, Burko. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
So, Burko, I do, or well, I have the capability of doing wild magic.
Not well.
Well, I mean, it's been pretty good up to this point, but you are right about that. It did not go so well earlier today. I cast a spell and then didn't feel great after it happened, and now I'm seven inches shorter than I was before, Sully?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's accurate.
Okay.
So I was just curious, is this like a permanent thing? Is this going to wear off? Can you reverse the effects? I just need information here.
Would you call this a debilitating effect?
Well, for reaching things, yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Well, hold on. Let me talk to Fran here for a second.
Fran.
He goes over and he whispers into her ears. They look over at you. He gets up and says, okay. Well, I mean, we can, I don't know what I can do for you here, friend. If it is a spell, something that has an enlarge or reduce spell, obviously reduce.
Well, yeah, but I...
There's usually a time period in which it reverses.
Sure, but I wasn't casting a spell of that nature. See, if I was casting something in that nature and it, you know, happened to hit me too, great, I understand that, but yeah, this was just like a mage hand.
Right. Well, I can tell you that I can make you grow for a minute.
But, I mean, that doesn't really seem like it's going to fix the problem.
No, it doesn't, does it? See, most of the restoration spells revolve around restoring something ailing you. And you, my friend, as far as I know, are exactly as you are supposed to be.
I think he's saying you gotta suck it up. Being short is not a disability.
Again, Sully, I didn't think it was. It's just not... I don't feel like myself like this.
You know what? Give me a couple days. Let me look into perhaps wild magic and any instances of shrinking of individuals because of said wild magic and see if I can't find anything that would flippy the effect.
Is that the technical term?
Sounds super academic.
I am a magic professional.
I've dabbled in academia myself. So if we're done with him, what do you know about maybe having like a growth on yourself that you feel like lots of love towards?
I'm not a doctor.
Well, I don't think that it's, I don't think it's medical so much as mystical.
Oh, well, if you love it, I mean, that's a bonus.
Set it free?
Well, if it's a growth on you, it might be hard to set it free.
Yeah. Well, it just showed up one day.
Again, not a doctor.
Oh, all right. Do you know where I can find a doctor?
At the hospital.
All right, guys, can we make a pit stop at the hospital? By the way, there's a growth on my body that I'm quite attached to in a non-romantic, more of a platonic, loving relationship.
You are a weird bunch.
Just full of problems.
Couple days there, good moot sound.
Thanks, Berko.
Come back and I shall tell you if I can help you or not.
Okay, so I guess the hospital?
Thank you both so much. I've got Zumba out behind the Bahamut Temple. If you guys want to join me, I'm there every morning. Oh. It'd be great to see you.
Oh, you're the Zumba.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm, interesting.
Hope to
see
you.
Well, I might be there. Fran might have a hard time. I will see if I can assist her if she so desires. I haven't shaken like that in a long time. I could probably do it.
All the more reason to come shake it, Fran.
Shaking it right now.
Sully backs away through the doors and starts down the stairs.
To the hospital. Come on, weirdos.
Sully, I'm a bit worried. How long have you had a growth?
Well, it's just been a couple days. Oh. It's only this big, and he holds up a don't know. It was like a couple inches across.
I mean, that seems pretty big,
Sully. It
seems
big. Does it hurt?
Well, I know, and it just kind of came up like... Well, actually, I think it just was this morning.
Oh.
Yesterday morning? I sometimes lose track of time. Either way, I have very strong feelings towards it, which is very strange because I don't have strong feelings towards very much. So.
I mean, I have a little bit of medical training. Do you want me to look?
Sure. I lift my my shirt to show the side of my torso.
I mean, you can roll medicine. That's fine.
I rolled a 20. We'll play the game so.
You see not so much a lump as you see a bruise, like a large welt on Sully's side. And in, not an incision, but like a wound that looks like it's rather fresh.
Sully, are you sure this was a lump? Can you... I know it's kind of hard to twist around to see, but it's not really a lump. It's like... I don't know, like a welt or a cut. Did somebody shiv you? Like, what happened here?
Oh, no, not for years. I don't know. I don't recall hurting myself or anything like that. Nobody's cut me or anything like that. I can't really see it, so.
And how do you... Do you still feel just like a lot of love for it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it must be hard to be a welt on the side of a small halfling.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. We probably should get you to the hospital, though. It doesn't really look good.
Yeah, okay. Let's check it out. If not for my safety, for his.
All the music in today's episode was by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.filmmusic.io. Thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Ryan Cushman, Joshua Dixon, Devin Michaels, Kat Waterflame, and Jacob Madden. Find out more at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast.
Really kind of go steady with Bahamut. Really make things serious, you know?
You want to go steady with Bahamut.
You hear footsteps coming down the hall.
Horse footsteps?
Yep.
Maybe it's centaur. A centaur.
Oh, imagine.
Is his name Firenze?
I gave you ducks last time, okay?
You're right.
All
right,
yeah.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
You start with your own breathing. Match the rhythm of the breeze that carves the canopy, the birds and bugs chirping in set intervals. Feel the subtle pulse rising up from the ground beneath you. To wander is to dance with the forest. But the forest isn't just the partner. She's the music, the style. She's the rhythm. She's the set of ancient steps and movements that have been passed down from one dancer to another. She teaches you to dance the dance she invented to the music she's singing in a tonal system she thought up one night as it pleased her. You breathe, and you listen, and you wait for your place, your first step, the call to... Wanderer is a new fairy folktale podcast from T.H. Ponders, a member of the Fable and Folly Network. Listen to the show by searching for The Wanderer in Apple Podcasts or by visiting www.callofthewander.com.